Hi, and welcome to today's podcast. So today I have the pleasure of interviewing Kimberly Murgatroyd from across the pond in the US. And we are going to be talking about vision and how you can make your vision become your reality. Now, when I think of vision, I literally couldn't think of anyone else better to discuss this with than Kimberly, because her and her husband Rob have such an incredible vision for their life, and they collaborate together in such a way that it doesn't just become a nice to have, they actually get to live it out. Now, I know that right now there are people out there who are listening to this that have ideas, that have goals, that have dreams, and you're sitting on them, you're not taking action, and you're thinking, who am I to do this? Or I couldn't do that. Well, I want to talk today to you with Kimberly and let you know that yes, you can. So if you have a vision or if you're feeling stuck, then listen to this podcast and I would love your feedback. So without further ado, we're going to get into it. Welcome to the VFit podcast. My name is Vanessa French, and I cannot wait to help you level up and become the next best version of yourself as we talk all things health, mindset, business, and lifestyle related. Now, let's get into it. All right, we're recording. Hi, guys. Welcome to the podcast. And today, I'm really excited because I have an epic guest on the show. And I literally, it's on my favorite topic, which is vision. And I couldn't think of anyone else better than this lady. So without further ado, here is Kimberly Murgatroyd. Welcome.
Thank you so much. And it's my favorite topic, too. I love to talk about vision.
We are going to have so much fun talking about this. I think lots of people are going to have so many takeaways and hopefully come away feeling inspired and motivated to take action on their own vision.
Absolutely.
So what I want to do is kind of start this by telling the viewers and listeners how I came across you. It does have slightly stalkerish vibes, but I'm going to tell the story. So back, I think maybe 2 years ago, 18 months ago, your husband Rob was on a podcast called The School of Greatness by Lewis House. Yeah. And Rob has the podcast dream voice, doesn't he? He is so good. And he was talking, and occasionally if someone really, like, I jam with them and I'm like, oh, I want to find out more about this person, I'll hop on over to their Instagram and have a little look. And then I saw he was married to you, so I hopped on over to your Instagram. And at that time, Rob had just started your own podcast, which was Work Hard, Play Hard.
Yes.
And that has become one of my favorite podcasts. I listen to it all the time. I never miss an episode. And so you have started doing the co-hosting on Fridays, which basically the two of you together have just have this epic dynamic. It's so cool. And so, yeah, I just thought, oh, I love it. It's just a brilliant, brilliant dynamic between you and your family and sharing what you guys are up to. But my point on this is that through your podcast and through your Instagram stories, I really feel like you have taken me on a little journey with you. And I've been there on all your adventures, and I've seen you talk about your vision and then actually live it. And it's really been fun to watch. It's just been amazing. So, my first question really is, before you met Rob, so when you were just you, have you always been somebody who has had a vision for their life, whether it be what it's turned out to be like now, or whether it was something else that you envisioned it? Have you always been that type of person?
I would say yes. I have never been the person that really wanted the standard, what everybody else wanted. They wanted, you know, the house and the marriage and the kids and the dog and the whatever society thinks that we should have. And that's never really been my thing. So I did try it for a minute when I was in my early 20s. I was 23. I was a corporate wellness trainer, and I bought my first house. And I bought cars, and I was like, I'm going to do the adult thing, and I'm going to get married, and I'm going to have kids. And yeah, that didn't work out. And it was not the life at like the way it was doing. It was more like checking the box, and I was way too young. So I got divorced. I ended up having this big house that I had bought and that I didn't want. I figured out really quickly, I don't actually like to own a home. And I don't like maintenance. I don't like anything to do with that. And I really was craving freedom. I was working. My first client was at 5 a.m. My last client was at 9 p.m. And I was working pretty much throughout the day. I was exhausted. I was gaining weight. I was a trainer that was like gaining weight because I didn't have time to train myself. I was really successful, but I was bored and I just didn't love life. And I was craving something different. And, you know, like most things in life, when you start to put that energy into personal development. So I started, you know, focusing more on what I wanted and less of what society wanted or what my parents wanted or what I thought everybody wanted for me, and started kind of focusing more on what I really wanted. Again, I was very young. I was like 23, 24. And I just kind of pulled back, and the universe gave me signs and brought Robin to my life. And so by connecting with him and just kind of watching what he was doing, and he seemed to live, now he was a chiropractor by trade, so he lived a normal office life. He had his own clinic and he did all his own stuff. But he was always traveling, and I had traveled a lot as a child, and I love travel. So we really connected, and thank God the universe brought him into my life, because everything shifted for us when we connected. And now we just don't live inside the box. Like, we don't live in our comfort zone. We don't live in our box. And it's taken us years to figure it out exactly the combination lock, but we have now.
I love that. And so when Rob came into your life, would you say that he was equally on the same path as you, or was he a little bit ahead, or did you grow together?
Yeah. So Rob, this is funny. He's like, he likes certainty. So every weekend that he didn't have his daughter, he had a daughter. She was about 4 at the time when we met, and he was divorced as well. And every weekend he didn't have her, he would travel, but he would do a circuit, literally New York, LA, Miami, New York, LA, Miami. And so I came in and I'm like, he's like, okay, we're going to Miami. We're going to New York. We're going to LA. And then it started to, and I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay. I like variety. So he likes certainty. I like variety. It's a very different world. And I said, what if we didn't do this every other weekend thing where we're like going on a plane to the same place, and we did something bigger and maybe save that money and put it towards a bigger trip? And he was like, well, what do you think? I said, how about Brazil? And he, like, his, I watched his brain just fry. And so we always talk about how we're basically together make one person, because we balance each other. And like you mentioned on Friday, we have this relationship and this banter. We've been together now almost 15 years. And it's a spectacular relationship, because where I fall short, he picks up. Where I pick up, he falls short. So was he ahead of me? Maybe. I mean, he's 12 years older than me, so maybe he was in some ways, but I also think that I brought a whole lot more variety and joy into his life, because he realized he actually likes to travel to different places. And, you know, repeating the same things can get monotonous and boring. So I think there's like a little bit of both.
Yeah, it's like you two kind of balanced each other out. So
yeah,
it's a nice way to be, isn't it? Like, it creates that whole person.
If you allow it. And the big thing people don't do is they see their differences in their spouse as like their spouse is wrong for thinking that way or believing that way. And so what we do is we value the differences in each other, and we lean in on the differences to get each other out of our comfort zone, because that's really what it is. I mean, this last year, after we sold the clinic and decided we were going to move, we did 4 months in Europe. He was petrified of this 4 months of like vagabond life with a 5-year-old. And I was so excited. I could have done a year. Like, you know, so we pull each other out of each other's comfort zones in all the appropriate places, I think.
That's amazing. And actually, it's very similar to my husband and me, our dynamic. I'm very much a spontaneous person. And Jason loves the certainty. And together, yeah, it kind of works. Okay, so to my next question then, do you feel people are born with this, I don't know what you want to call it, like vision for themselves? Are they, you know, or is it something that you have to nurture, or can anyone do this? So for me, yeah, I would say that from day go, I was a dreamer. I'd be in the class daydreaming, not really paying attention. I'm always an optimist. And if something comes my way, I see it as a challenge rather than something stopping me. And that is how my personality is. I was wondering, can anyone do this, or is it just...
Absolutely. No, not just the lucky few that were granted the gift of, you know, vision. No, I think that it's nature and nurture, right? So I think there is some innate gift of dreaming. You know, we use a lot of personal development tools, and one of them is the Strength Finder. And the Strength Finder, you take this test and it gives you 34 strengths and it ranks them from top to bottom. So like my top strengths are like strategy and command and all of this. Well, Rob's is futuristic. So that's a real vision strength. Like that's a big one. And so I think that naturally there are people that have something, but that doesn't mean that you can't build it or work for it. Once it's one of those things where once you know it exists, it's really hard to not do it. And we have created this kind of framework to allow us to dream bigger and to create a vision called Stupid Idea Time. And Stupid Idea Time is the one thing that we've used in the last, I'd say, 10 or more years that has elevated us in business, in our relationship, in life, in vision, especially because Stupid Idea Time is our protected time where we get out a whiteboard or whatever piece of paper and we dream, and we just dream and dream and dream, and no idea can be stupid. In fact, we want all the stupid ideas to come out because that's where blue sky thinking comes from. People don't think they can do bigger things or dream bigger life or that they have options that they actually have. It's just the options don't fit into the circumstances, and there's limiting beliefs and there's all these shoulds you get shoulded on, right? So for us, Stupid Idea Time is something that we've used, and it's actually a book that we're writing now on how we've used this kind of concept to create massive vision for our family through businesses and everything else. So I think, yes, you can be born with a better vision. I also think your parents play a role in that. Like what you said about having, you see challenges as, you know, a challenge and not, it doesn't take you down. That's a mindset strategy that my guess is your parents probably planted that seed somewhere along the way. There's a great book called Mindset by Carol Dweck. And she talks about all of those mindset strategies. And it's another valuable tool for vision. So yes, you can read the book. You can put in these different protocols to adjust your thinking and dream bigger. And I think anybody can get there.
Yeah. And speaking of like childhood and that, you've got 5-year-old Sophia who, yes, is she 5? Am I right?
She'll be 6 next week or 2 weeks. Yep. Excellent. Yeah. I can't believe it. It's crazy.
She is such a personality. I love her. Love her.
Oh my gosh. she is either good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's a personality. She's a lot. She's awesome. She's awesome.
But what I love is that, and I wish, like when you were saying you think my parents instilled this into me, it wasn't anything of my parents. In fact, my childhood was pretty traumatic. But I think I developed that as a skill to push me forward. But what I love what you're doing is that you are literally teaching this down to Sophia. And so she is such a force at 5, and her self-belief already is incredible. And I just think, wow, I really wish that every child could have this in their life. I mean, imagine growing up believing, having that self-belief. How empowering would that be?
Yeah, our goal is to create a global citizen, one that recognizes that the differences in culture and people and beliefs and all of that, but values them and honors them and gets excited to learn about them. One, and two, to provide a bag of tools and tricks for her to be able to use as she goes through life. And I think that a lot of times parents believe that self-esteem can be given through being a cheerleader for your child and telling them how great they are. But again, going back to that mindset book by Carol Dweck, you actually learn that that inhibits a child. When you're constantly telling them how amazing they are, you're now setting a bar for them to live up to. Right. Instead of celebrating the failures. We celebrate the failures all the time, because how are you going to grow if you don't fail? How are you going to have that contrast? You're not. And failure is important. And growth doesn't happen when things are great. Growth happens when the ish hits the fan, right? That's where growth happens. And so even though your childhood, it wasn't the picture perfect childhood that nobody has, by the way, everybody has their version, right? That provided so much growth for you. I had many challenges in my childhood. I had amazing parents, but I had incredible challenges in my childhood. And that provided a lot of growth for me. Rob, oh gosh, my husband was abused and, you know, lived in three kids in one room. Like, he is, I mean, that kind of childhood, again, creates that growth, and, or it can create the growth. And having kid, teaching your kids tools like state management, how to change their state, how to feel the emotion, but change their state, how to manifest. We're currently teaching Sophia how to manifest in the process of manifestation. We're teaching her how to raise her vibration. People talk about that, right? Yes. I want a high vibe tribe, and I want to raise my vibration and keep a high vibe and all this stuff. But I don't think most of the people know what they're talking about, because there are actual things that you do to raise your vibration. And then from there is where you take the action, right? So we're teaching that to Sophia now. So I think that we treat children like she's a child. You've seen that she plays, she's at camp. She's a normal kid, but she has skills that we've taught her, because like you said, to be five and to have like personal development skills, like that's like, I waited until I was almost 40 for that, you know. It's pretty amazing.
It is amazing. And it's just going to set her up so well for the future, isn't it? I love that. Mm-hmm. So yes. We touched briefly on you going to Italy. And so I want to talk about that. But before I do, can you give us an idea of what your life was like before you had stupid idea time and thought, what if we do this?
Yeah. So here's basically the brief. I'll do it as brief as I can. So I met Rob, and I was working as a personal trainer at the time. He was my client. How do you like that? And one day a week turned into two, turned into three, turned into four. And eventually I was like, you don't actually need to train 5 days a week. It's going to be okay, you know, with me. And then over time, built a relationship. He was chiropractor. He was working 6 days a week as chiropractor. I was working 6 days a week in fitness. And we got together, and because of our love of travel, we were really wanting to travel more, but my career was kind of limiting us. So I decided to stop my job and to work in his clinic and help him there. And then we could have the same schedule, right? And we could take off whenever we wanted, because we owned our own business. We were business owners, and it was all great. And then we read a book called The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss. And what The 4-Hour Workweek did is it planted the seed of, you don't actually have to work 9 to 5. You can create automated income. You can make money while you sleep. Rich dad, poor dad, like this whole thing. But for some reason, Tim's book put it into a different perspective. And so we took our love of travel and decided we're going to create a travel business, and we're going to find a way to exit Rob out of the clinic. No, this was in 2006. Okay. We're in 2020. So this was 2006. We created a company called Jet Set Life. We traveled around the world shooting our own travel shows. This is before social media. We had a video podcast. Video podcasting had just started. We had a video podcast. We had a website, we wrote travel guidebooks, and we made pretty much no money from that.
Wow,
and
that's a lot of work.
It was a lot of work, but it was a passion project. And right. What we realized in building that business for almost 10 years was we had a really amazing aspirational market. Everybody wanted to travel. So the way that we know Lewis House is through Jet Set Life. Chris and Lori Harder, well, we competed together. But they used to watch our Jet Set Life videos. So there are still people today that reference, I used to watch you guys doing this thing. And it's like you were everywhere and then you disappeared. Because we weren't, and we did, because it was a lot and we weren't making money doing it. So we took a hiatus when I had Sophia, when I got pregnant, because following a pregnant woman around Mykonos is not that exciting. So, it was a definitely needed hiatus. So we did that and kind of reworked everything. And we sat down at the table one day and we played stupid idea time. And we said, what if we did something completely different? The dream has always been to move to California. So this is now 2014. We're still working in the clinic. I'm thinking I'm going to have Sophia and I'm going to take her to the clinic with me, I guess, and work. Like I had all these, like, I'll just handle it. It'll happen. Yeah. But the moment that baby was put in my arms, it was like, I'm not going back. In fact, I don't want to work. So that means now I have to hire someone, which means we're going to lose money. He's still working 7 to 7, 12-hour days, not seeing Sophia as a baby. And so we sat down, played stupid idea time. Everything went on the board. It was like open a dog cafe, like a cafe where you can get dog biscuits and like coffee for you, dog biscuits, and they can play and you can work. Like, oh yeah, stupid idea time. I'm telling you, anything can go on the board. It was like, we'll move to California and sell t-shirts out of a van. Like everything was on the board. Yeah. And on that board, I wrote Start Network Marketing. And I had friends, really good friends that had done network marketing and had succeeded. And I had used the products, loved the products, but I had to know the business because Rob was not on board with it. He was like, I'm not doing that. And I didn't have that problem, but he did. But then when we had Sophia and we played stupid idea time, we wrote all these things, we, with a cool head, probably a sober head, there might've been wine involved the next day, woke up and looked at what we wrote. We crossed off the ones that we weren't interested in doing and the network marketing kind of stuck. And so that is when we decided like to take the plunge into network marketing, because what we were after was freedom. We were after replacing Rob's income. We wanted freedom to be able to live where we wanted, how we want. We wanted true location independence. We wanted to be able to travel. We wanted to be able to live in California. We wanted whatever we wanted at the time. And so that, that was the beginning. So our life before starting network marketing was one way, and our life now and after network marketing is very, very different, as you probably know.
Amazing. So when did Italy come around? So your passion was Italy. Rob mentioned you wanted to move to California.
Yes.
So and when did yours come around?
Mine? Italy?
Well, I'm guessing that Italy was your thing.
Yeah. So I am the Italy person. I like to travel. When I was a kid, I was 16. And I went to Italy and Greece with a company called People to People. I was a student ambassador for the United States. And I had traveled when I was 14 to Russia and did Russia, Sweden, Finland, Belarus. And then I went back at 16. And when I went to Italy, I just fell in love. And I felt like I had been there before. I felt this strong connection and fell in love. So that was 16. I had this picture of the sunset overlooking the Arno in Florence on my bulletin board for, gosh, since I was 16. And it followed me every bulletin board through college. You should see it. The picture has pinholes all over it because it like keeps getting put on a new bulletin board. And so that was always my dream. Rob had a similar experience when he was around 16. A girlfriend's dad was doing a job in LA, And he was brought to LA by the girlfriend's dad to kind of help him into work. And it was then when he fell in love with California. So we had like a similar experience, but in two places. So when we originally sat down and did Stupid Idea Time, and it was like, what do you want to, what's the vision? And he's like, I want to live in California. I'm like, I don't want that. I want to live in Italy. And so we were like 6 months in California, 6 months in Italy. And that was our initial vision. And that sounds ridiculous to a lot of people. They're like, oh, what are you going to do with school? And what are you going to do with anything? Like, it sounded completely ridiculous, but to us, it made sense. And it's what we wanted to work towards. So that was the, like the initial vision for our life. Of course, that morphed and shifted and changed, and it's still morphing and changing between the two things of Italy and California today.
Well, that's what I love, is that I think people think when you create a vision, you hold on to it, but it's fluid, isn't it? It's like,
yes,
it doesn't matter how you get there. It's going to be a windy road and it'll take all different spins, but you'll get there, and it, you know, it will be everything that you wanted or better.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Like, people get so tied to the how and the why, the vision, what, like, it's the most simple question. What do you want? What is it that you want? And play Stupid Idea Time. Go, what are the areas of your life you're not satisfied with? Is it relationship? Is it money? Is it travel? Is it what, like, what is the dream? What's on the someday I will list that you can bring into, okay, no, I want to make a plan and make that happen. Yeah. And so for us, it was just this freedom, this location independence of doing whatever we wanted. And so when we sold the club, so we did network marketing for 5 years. Over that 5 year period, we built a multi six figure business. It was not easy. It was bumpy. It was crazy. It was awesome. It was all the emotions, wall kicking emotions, all the things. But at the end of the day, we did it. And we felt comfortable selling the clinic. We sold the clinic. And after that, it was like, I have an idea. What if we just go to, you know, Europe for 4 months? So Rob had started already podcasting, doing Work Hard, Play Hard. And he had experiences that he, because he loves travel now and he loves traveling the world. And he's really incredible at crafting experiences for people to get re-inspired in life. And so he takes high-level entrepreneurs around the world and crafts these trips for them. And it's like a mastermind, but very informal, more just connecting people and sharing this incredible world with them. So we had a trip in June in Monaco, and we had one in late October in Italy. And I said, Stupid Idea Time, what if we just stay between June and October? You know, and he kind of looked at me. He was like, oh, okay, maybe. I'm like, I've always wanted to do it. I've always wanted to do it. We are moving to California for you. And so the other half of that is I really love Europe. And so he said, you know what? You're right. I'm in. And so from there, it was dreaming and talking about it. And every day getting on the same page in the dream. We didn't know how this was going to happen. This is like, we were packing up in Atlanta, putting things into a pod, letting the pod sit there while we traveled Europe, and then moving the pod. This was like a circus. This was like a circus act. But instead of getting stressed and overwhelmed and going, this is so stupid, it was like, no, how can we make this work? Because this is that vision that we've been working for. Mm-hmm. This is that vision. Don't get tied to the house. Stick with the vision and it'll happen. And so we did 4 months in Europe and landed in California.
I love that.
Isn't that crazy?
But, you know, it, what I hear is, you know, you've made this happen and you've gone through so many different stages of your life. There are going to be people out there saying, but it's okay for you because X, Y, Z. You know, they'll see mm-hmm. something in you that they don't have, and they'll come up with all these excuses as to why they can't do that.
Yeah.
What do you see that as? Is that, you know, is that fear coming up for them? Mm-hmm. Is that lack of self-belief? And how, you know, have you felt those things yourself? And if so, how did you get over that?
Oh my gosh. Okay. Have I felt these things myself all the time? So that's what we call resistance, right? So if you think of the goal, I want to have a house that looks at the ocean. When you say that goal to yourself, there is the naysaying voice, the resistance. Yeah, but it's going to cost a lot of money. Yeah, but whatever your resistance is, maybe it's, yeah, but I don't want to clean a big house. Yeah, but with the property taxes, those are going to be outrageous. Yeah, but I don't deserve it. A lot of people do that one too. Like, I don't deserve that kind of success. Or, yeah, but I don't need it. Or, you know, all of the little yeah buts come in, and those tend to overtake you. What we've gotten really good at is visualizing what we do want. And again, not getting tied to the how. The moment you get tied to the how, because you say, I want this goal, this thing, whatever it is, it's a trip, it's a body, it's a house, it's whatever, money. You say this goal, and then your brain starts to figure out how to do that. And that's actually not really your job. I think that's more and coming from an inspired place rather than wrestling the gorilla to the ground. The reason that stupid idea time works for us and the reason that it has been successful is because we're brainstorming, blue sky thinking, going all the way outside our comfort zone of anything we possibly know. Like, I was a personal trainer and he was a chiropractor. What business do we have doing a podcast, traveling around the world and sharing experiences with people? Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
What does A have to do with B? Like, nothing. We are not so special. We found something we are passionate about and love, and we're willing to work through the resistance. So those statements, like, well, here's something tactical. I like to give some tactical things people can do. Step one, what do you want? Write it down. Don't say, yeah, but I don't need that. Or yeah, but people also feel very shoulded on. Like, I was on a coaching call yesterday and someone was like, well, maybe I'll get like this Porsche, or well, we don't really need that. We like to live below our means. No. If you want the Porsche, you're allowed to have the Porsche. Put it on your list. Okay. Don't talk yourself out of it because you think society and all of these beliefs. So write it down and start to dream about it. Start to visualize it. And when the resistance comes in, let it go and just say, that's not up to me. Let it go. I lean more meditation, manifestation, spirituality. I lean more that direction, journaling. Then I'm going to, you know, wrestle the gorilla to the ground. Yeah. And I find that that's where that inspiration it comes from. I can give you a recent example if you want one. Yeah, that was super frustrating to me. You probably read my post about being super frustrated with a lot of things going on. I did a post the other day about that because I thought it was really important for people to see the chain of events, and one that, I do get really frustrated, and I felt 3 weeks ago, I felt really lost, really frustrated, really overwhelmed. I didn't feel like I had a clear path. I didn't feel like I had a clear vision, and I didn't know what I was going to do. So the first thing is I recognized I had an issue. Mm-hmm. And that's helpful because without knowing you need help with something. The second thing I did is I went and I did a meditation, and I just, whatever you believe in, God, universe, Buddha, whoever it is for you, I just asked for guidance, and I just did a quiet meditation, and then I journaled after, and I didn't judge it. I didn't try to read it really. I just let the thoughts fly, and I journaled. And what I came out of that journaling was a feeling I needed to talk to Rob about it. So I went and talked to Rob, and we sat down, and I said, I think my problem is that I'm lacking a vision. I didn't even really know I was lacking a vision until I went through this whole process. And I said, I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I feel like I'm lacking vision, and it feels very weird and uncomfortable because, like, I like the vision. And, you know, we talked through it, and what we came to was, you know, when we sold our clinic in 2018, we had this vision of selling the clinic, going to Europe, moving to California. For so many years that when we did it, then I went into the planning and the packing and the experiencing. And then we moved here, and it was like the unpacking, the figuring everything out. And then it took me 8 months of living in California to realize, oh man, I had a vision back that ended and I need a new one. And so we talked about it, and he asked, you know, some questions. He's a really good coach, and he asked me a couple of questions. And what we came down to is that what we were talking about when we jumped on here privately was homeschooling. We had already made the decision with COVID, schools aren't going back in session. I want consistency for Sophia. She's going to be six. And I said, I'm going to homeschool because homeschooling aligns with our desire for freedom, right? And travel. And he said, well, what if you could homeschool from different places around the world? And I just started crying. And I was like, oh my God, that's it. That's it. That's my vision. I want to world school my child. And some parents right now are going, this woman's nuts. But I do. And maybe not forever, but why not while she's little, learn about the Eiffel Tower from the Eiffel Tower? Why not learn about the outback of Australia and kangaroos in Australia? Like, why not do that? And that's an expensive thing, right? So now I have to reverse engineer how to afford that. But that's the vision. That's what I'm holding as
vision back.
But now I have my vision back. So do I have problems all the time? Do I think that? Listen, I can make a mental checklist of how nuts it sounds that I'm going to take my kid every month somewhere around the world, right? There's a lot of limiting beliefs and things like that, but I ignore them. I ignore them. And I'm like, oh yeah, goodbye. See you later. Don't give your attention to things that don't serve you. Don't give your attention to what you don't want. Give it to what you do want. And I think that's the big thing that people don't do when they're thinking about what they want. They give the attention to what they don't want. And they keep talking about that, which means, guess what? They're going to get more of what they don't want versus what they do want. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I think, like, for example, my husband, Jason, is, you know, he's not into massive personal development like me, so we're kind of polar opposites on that. And so I'm kind of putting my vision out there, and he will come up against resistance again and again. But what we are doing, and he doesn't even realize he's doing it, is when we go on our dog walks, we're talking about it, you know. And he'll be like, yeah. Oh, this, and we're creating the vision, just talking that conversation through, and imagine if this happened, and then we did this, and that's how he kind of overcomes those resistance, because we can like go back and forth. Yeah. And what about this part? But yeah, okay, but we could do this, and
that's it.
And, you know, and this is how we're, you know, we are taking that first step into our big vision now. And interestingly, coming up against resistance, like I had some. So I recently went to France on holiday with a friend of mine, and we sat there, and I was like, man, I really want to get this apartment sorted in St. Vincent. And I was like, but you know, with the current situation, I'm worried, you know, I'm keeping this money here just in case. And she's like, why? You know, yeah. What you're doing is you're blocking the universe granting
you. Oh my gosh.
Amen. Everything that you want. And the moment I went, you're right, and I hit the money, you know, hit the send button, the money transferred over, it just snowballed. Like, yeah. It went so fast. And I was like, wow, it's happening. We're actually making this happen. And it's because I owned it and I decided to take that action and not just sit there and think of the what ifs and the, but this might happen, and, you know.
And it might. It might be happening for you. We now operate under this idea that everything is always working out for us. And that everything is always working out for us. Even when it doesn't seem like it's working out for us, it's working out for us. Because I promise you, my first marriage ended to allow me to have this wonderful life with a man that I am over the moon in love with. Like, so many things have slammed in my face to drive me to the other opportunity. Like, everything is working out for you. But if you don't actually believe that, it's not. It's like, and people think sometimes when you say that, that it's crazy. But if you think to a time where you had a bad day and you woke up late and then you ate breakfast and then you tripped down the stairs going out and then it was like one thing after another. Mm-hmm. If you had taken the moment to find a way to raise the vibration, to change your state, to go back into joy, to gratitude, to appreciation, just something other than the negative spiral. If you had stopped, taken a moment to go up the emotional scale, to raise that vibration, truly, the day would have shifted. Yeah. But because most people don't, and frustration builds on top and top and top, and the snowball of frustration continues. Then you hit the red light, then you're late for work, then someone's pissed at you. That, like, and so everybody has had that day And so try it next time you, if you don't believe that everything is always working out for you, you don't believe that you attract what you're putting out, try shifting your energy and see what happens, because it happens. And your friend is very smart, because when you're trying to hold on to everything, that's not an abundance mindset. That's a scarcity mindset. Oh my gosh. What if, right?
I didn't realize I was doing it. And then she called me out on it. And I was like, oh, you're right. I am
living in scarcity, and people are afraid to not live in scarcity, but it will work out. You will be provided for. It will work out. Not because I think you can sit your ass on the couch and money comes flying, but I do think if you do the proper things to put yourself in the correct alignment, then you will be given the seed or the inspiration to take the next step on the next thing that will snowball into the next thing. It has to start somewhere, and it starts with one, your vibration. I have another rule that in the last 6 months I've implemented. It's I don't take any action from when something feels out of alignment. So for you, it must have felt very much in alignment to have this house in the islands and to begin this dream of that. It felt very much in alignment for you. If it didn't feel in alignment, then you wouldn't have done it, you know, and you wouldn't have pulled the trigger on it. You were not pulling the trigger because you were in scarcity, not because you weren't in alignment with the dream, right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I love that. I could talk about this all day, but
I know people want other things to do in their life.
But this has been amazing. So if anyone is interested in following you, where can they find you?
Instagram at Kim Murgatroyd. Good luck spelling it, but I'm sure you can add it in the show notes or something. I should have chosen an easier handle.
No, it's good. I found you. If I can find you, me. Anyone can find you. It's good.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for this. It's amazing. And just make sure everyone follows you and sends you loads of love, because your next vision is going to be epic. I cannot wait.
Listen, it's going to be interesting for sure. And you know, you'll see it because we kind of post everything. So there you go. Thank you
so much.
Thank you so much. This was awesome.